Let's open up our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6. We'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another day of life, Heavenly Father. We're thankful for your goodness to us. The Lord, we're thankful that we sit under the order of an amazing God. And the only Father, we can't even begin to comprehend of how great you really are. The only Father, you created all that we see, all the worlds, the heavens, the earth. The Lord, there's never been a beginning or an end to you. You've always been. Lord, we can't even begin to comprehend that, dear Lord. The only Father, the amazing God that you are, you came down and spoke to our lives one day. You spoke to our hearts and our minds, and Lord, you gave us an opportunity to be saved, dear Holy Father. You gave us an opportunity to inherit the kingdom of heaven one day, dear Lord. And dear Holy Father, we're so thankful and blessed that we received that this morning. And Lord, we ask you to be with us, dear Lord. Help us to stay diligent in the things of God, dear Holy Father. Keep our face fixed on the things of Christ, dear Holy Father. The Lord, we have a world, we have an enemy, we have people, we have family, we have friends that are all trying to distract us from the straight and narrow path. But dear Lord, we need to work with that, dear Lord. As Jesus said, there's two ways. There's a straight way, there's a narrow way. The straight way is a difficult way. But dear Lord, we're thankful that it's joy to our heart, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful that it's a difficult way because of the things of this world, dear Heavenly Father. Because of the burdens that we carry for families and different things. But dear Lord, we're so thankful for the way. And dear Lord, we wouldn't want to change it any other way. Dear Lord, we ask you to help us to stay true and faithful on that straight way, dear Lord. So dear Lord, as we look in the Word of God, we ask you to bless us this morning. I ask you to bless each and every one of the minds and the ears of our hearers, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to help us, dear Lord, to present the message in such a way to be an encouragement, a blessing, a challenge, whatever it might need to be. And we'll certainly thank you for that. Lord, anoint me that I'll bring the Word just as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In Matthew chapter 6, I don't know why I do all the time. Sometimes I wonder if people know all the details of the Bible. But in Matthew chapter 6, I think we may have mentioned it Wednesday or in the last week or so. But Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is considered the Sermon on the Mount. And all three chapters is Jesus speaking. And anytime I read about Jesus and what he has to say, I always try to make mention of that. I think it's important. I know that there's other parts of the Bible that we read, but I believe when Jesus says things, we need to take a little bit more thought and take it dearer to our heart. So in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 through 21, Jesus says here, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" I just wanted to read down to verse 21, but I kept on going. But Jesus mentioned here a couple things, and as I was reading, as I do many times, sometimes I take a couple verses, and I read through them, and just to get my main point, and we're going to look at verse 21 here, I believe here. But as I was reading through there, and there's some encouraging thoughts in verse 20 that I didn't actually have in my notes, but he says here, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And then he goes on to say a few things, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. What a blessing that is. What an encouragement that is. We live in a world today, in every aspect of our lives, these couple phrases here are a part of us. Whatever you buy, you could buy clothes, you could buy a car, you could buy a house, whatever material, right away it starts to decay in one way or another. You could buy some shirts and things, and before long they start to get worn and buttons come off, or they get just wore out and things from washing it and doing that. They fade away. When you buy a house, and Brother Jim mentioned a house, I don't think it's a new one, is it? So, but even when we buy a brand new house, within just a little bit of time, some things go wrong with it. You know, maintenance has to always be kept up. We never buy anything and it ever stays at the premium that it was when you first bought it. You could buy a brand new vehicle and park it in a garage. And it can be in a garage that is temperature controlled and everything, but it still is subject to the elements of everything in life, and it starts to decay. And Jesus says, what an encouragement here. And then, of course, he goes on to the other thoughts about people breaking them. Things. I don't know if we ever did it here. I know my aunt and uncle down in North Carolina, when we used to go visit them as a kids, they still might be some places that do it, but they don't do it any longer. But we'd pull in there, and I was just young. The keys were left in the car. The windows were rolled down. The front door was open. I remember my mom and dad, we went down there one year. We got there early in the morning. I don't know what time it was. It was 3, maybe 4 o'clock. And we were sitting in the car and waiting maybe for them to wake up. And I guess after a few, maybe a half hour, wasn't long, it's like, okay, we're not going to stay here no more. My dad and mom said, we just walked in the house. Their door was open. We walked in. We laid on the couch. Of course, they heard us and came out and things. But that's the way it is. That's not the way it is today. A security. We all have locks. We have locks on our cars and our homes. Everything we have locks on because of people, the evilness of people. But Jesus says one day, in heaven, those things won't exist. Thank God. Those things we won't have to worry about. Sisters, you won't have to worry about washing another piece of clothes. You won't have to worry about drying anything. You won't have to worry about looking for shoes anymore or anything out there. You won't have to worry about mistrusting someone that you lay your wallet somewhere. Not that there's going to be a wallet in heaven, but if you would lay your wallet, that thing would sit there until whenever. The trust. So Jesus says here in verse 20 there, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doesn't corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. But he says there, Jesus makes a comment here. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not treasures upon earth. My title that I put on the message for this morning is, where is your storehouse? Is it in heaven or is it in earth? Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures. So I looked at that thought a little bit this week and pondered it some, and even still ponder it some. And in Zondervan's dictionary, it says, talking about the word treasure, a word that signifies a collection of objects of value, including stores of provisions. I pondered that some. A word that signifies collection of objects of values. We all have values. We all have things. Sometimes I need to think about my message. Sometimes I don't want to jump ahead of my thoughts here. But we know that when we talk about objects, you know, there are many types of things that people decide to collect and get involved in. And we all have, no doubt, just some hobbies or things or collectible things. But I believe when he mentions those things, a significant collection of things, and I want to just jump ahead a little bit here, give you a little bit of a story here. It's kind of a funny thing that just happened recently. I have a 3-year-old grandson, and he loves trucks, and I guess Lynn and I were talking about it. I guess he watches the little cartoons, I guess, and he knows the definition of what a bulldozer is, what an excavator is, what a dump truck is, what a cement truck. He knows every one of them. He knows the identification of them. So he talks about wanting an excavator, which is a bucket truck, what we call a bucket truck. And I found one on Amazon and just looked it up to see if there's any little kid ones. And I was showing it to him and letting him look at it. Well, a couple days go by, and I had ordered something from work for work, and I looked to see when that package was coming. Something else was ordered also that I did not order. And I asked Lynn, I said, did you order this? And it was a little toy. It was a little something, a little sandbox toy or something. She goes, I didn't want it. So we were first worried that somebody had tapped into my account. So as we got to thinking about it a little bit later, he must have seen that or just running through my it and hit buy now. And it came to my house. Of course, thank the Lord, we can send it back. I spoke to someone else that they had their grandson order $4,000 worth of things off of Amazon. And a major part of that was, and I'm bringing this up for a point, a major part of that was Pokemon cards. Some of you may have heard of them. And she said to me, she says, one of those Pokemon cards cost $2,100. One. And when he says there, a collection of objects of value. We know that some people in the world, they are obsessed with buying things and obtaining things of this world that are valuable. I've talked to people over the years. I used to work with a man, and he collected coins. He collected a lot of coins and rare coins and things, and he was financially well off. I said, "Why?" To me, when people collect things, whether it be baseball cards, Pokemon cards, coins, or anything that people collect, I say, at what point in your life does it get to a place do you realize that or you desire to sell that? So you make some money to where, okay, it's worth $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. At what point in your life do you get there? Do you see that? So he collected coins. And I asked him one time, I said, for what purpose do you collect the coins? And he says, well, I'm using it for my retirement one day. I'm thinking, how much money, how much coins can you have for that purpose? So he's getting ready to retire some years ago. And he's always talked to me about it, and I told him one day, I joked with him one day, I said, you know what's going to happen to you? I said, you're going to pass away, and your children's going to drag out all them box of coins. And I joked with him, I said, they're going to take all them to Walmart one day, and they're going to dump them in that machine, and they're going to get $500 worth of whatever the coins were worth. He left, he come back, he goes, you know, you actually made me sick. Because I thought that's exactly what they would do. People collect things, collect all kinds of things, die, leave it to their families, and then their families just, they want to get rid of it. So it's sort of a little bit of a thought here, but the thought of treasure, a word that signifies a collection of objects of value, including stores of provisions. Now I thought about the story with Solomon. Now we know that God blessed Solomon with all the riches, all the things that he had an abundance of provisions that was not known on the earth. When Queen of Sheba came, and she seen that, and she said, I have not even been told half of what I've seen. Amen. But Solomon got his heart turned by women. And even though all those things, I believe he may have rested on some of those things, allowed him to lose his place in heaven. The parable of the rich fool. We know the story that Jesus gave, the parable of the rich fool, where he looked out there and all that he had. He says, I have much goods, and I have my barns are full. He goes, I don't know what to do with all the goods, all the provisions that I have. He goes, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear all my barns down. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to build larger barns. And I'm going to fill all my barns up. And I'm going to sit back and say to my own soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, so to speak. And I've had things well. And that's what people do. They spend so much of an abundance of things upon this earth for the pleasures of this earth and nothing for the things of heaven. And Jesus says, thou fool, today your soul shall be required. We see the rich young ruler that came to Jesus also. And Jesus says, you lack one thing. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. Come and follow me. And he went away sorrowful. I think about people in our world that had provisions, that had more abundance of things. And they left this world too early. Famous people. Very well-known people, because they didn't care for the things of the soul. When I think about a treasure, and as Zondervan's definition says, an overabundance of objects, stockpiles of provisions. Now there again, I don't believe that God, there's nothing wrong with us having things. Nothing wrong providing a life for us. Nothing wrong with having things. You know, Sister Rebecca said that. She goes, why do I have these things? And we've all faced that. I know when Linda and I, our parents passed away, and Aunt Sissy and all that, we had the responsibility of dealing with all that stuff. And both of us came to the point, you know what? We need to look in our own place and get rid of stuff that are just sitting there for the last 10 years and we never used. But there are people that desire that I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more of the things of this world, and care not for the things of their soul, for the things of heaven. Holding great value, our treasures, the holding great value on things that are earthly. Holding a greater desire for the things that are in this earth. I want that. I want power, I want money, I want prestige, I want ability, I want whatever it is. Desiring things of this world and not the things that are placed in heaven. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do you long for heavenly things? Do you meditate? Do you consider things of heaven? Often. You know, every one of us are no doubt busy. We're always going. Our minds are always going. Our days are filled all the time. How much time do we spend meditating on things of that are eternal? How many time do we spend on things that we're going to talk about here in a little bit? We're going to go to some verses here a little bit later in the message. How many times do we meditate? How many times do we get by ourselves and meditate on the things of God? On the things of heaven? And I'm for one too. I'd say sometimes we need to set some time aside. I know we have jobs, we have family, we have homes, we have all the responsibilities of life. But how many times do we set aside and let me think about the things of God? Let me meditate on the things of God. Let me spend some time in prayer with meditation with God. Of spiritual things instead of all earthly things. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it talks about Abraham, and that verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he Abraham. We know the story of Abraham. And Abraham recognized that he had an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Do you recognize you have an inheritance in the kingdom of God? Whether you're saved or not this morning, whether you're a child of God, whether you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, whether you're saved or not, you have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. God has placed a place for you. I preached this one time, and I really believe it to be true, that Jesus says one time, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Every soul that is born into this world, Jesus says, I've got a place prepared for you. I've got a home prepared for you. I've set aside a place just for you. Are you going to accept it? Are you going to start on the path when I offer it to you and finish your course and receive that place? Or will you reject it? I believe he doesn't. I don't know necessarily God says, well, I'll prepare a place after. Jesus, I've prepared a place for you. I have something for you. You know, an inheritance. Some of us have received inheritance sometimes. And in all those inheritances we've probably received, we did not know we were going to receive those inheritance or for how much until we received them. Might have been a blessing to us, may not have been a blessing to us. But in this case, Jesus says, I have a place prepared. I have an inheritance prepared. I have glory. I have blessings. I have eternal joy prepared for you in heaven for you to receive. Do you desire it? Do from time to time, do you look into those things and enjoy the things that God has for us? Abraham, he says here, Abraham, when God called him, he went to a place that afterwards should receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether, he didn't know where he was headed. He didn't know what was before him. He just obeyed God's word. He just obeyed God's voice and realized that God had something better for him. And he just sought out, he started out and tried to follow God. In verse 9 there, let me back up here before I finish that verse here. Do we see the inheritance God has for you, as I've been mentioned? Do you have a vision? I think that's an important part as far as being a Christian. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, where there is no vision, the people perish.
Yes, sir.
And I don't necessarily always think it means as a group of people, but as an individual. If I lose my vision of the kingdom of God, of the things of heaven, I'm going to perish. Not only physically, but spiritually. Do we have a vision? Do you have a vision of the kingdom of God, of the spiritual things of God? So, no, not really. You know, you can have one. You can have a vision. God can help you to have a vision of the things of God. Do you have a vision? Abraham left his family, his home, his friends, everything. He left all those things for the inheritance that he understood that God was going to give to him. Lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Jesus said one time in the Bible, if you don't forsake your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your children, your wife, your own life also, you have no fellowship with Christ. Now that doesn't mean he hates everybody, but everything in our lives have to come second to Jesus Christ. Everything we put, so to speak, on the back burner to Jesus Christ, because we recognize the blessings that heaven has to hold for us. Verse 9, by faith, remember what we read in verse 8 there, by faith, verse 9, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
I believe, as I was putting this message together, looking at different thoughts of treasures that are in heaven, I believe one treasure that I think we can look at, and he mentions here in verse 10, looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Sister Ann brought to us on Wednesday the other week about foundations. And I mentioned to you about the children in school a little bit ago. There's nothing better than a good foundation.
That's true.
Basic foundations. A mother and a father is a good foundation.
Yes.
Yes.
Raising children in a home.
Right.
That's a solid foundation. Our world doesn't know that today. There are so many children, they've already proven, they've already got statistics, there are so many children that are being raised without a father, some without either. There's no foundation, there's no structure there. A good foundation. The things of heaven is a solid foundation, a firm foundation. It will not change. Making heaven our home, it will be as sure as it could ever possibly be. No wavering, no mistrust, no injustice or other. It's a perfect place.
Amen.
He says here in Abraham, and I know he was talking about somewhat of a literal thing here, but look for a city which hath a foundation, whose builder and maker is God, not the things of man. See, people are looking for, I want something that man has built. I want something that man has designed or incorporated. I don't want those things. I want the things of God that are sure foundation. He looked for that place. Jesus told us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Abraham said he looked for a new home, a home that God can provide for him. A stable place, a foundational place. I preached many, many years ago a message about what is your desire? Every single one of us in this room have a desire of something. You have a desire for something. 6 months from now, our desire could be different. lot of times our desire or things that maybe in the future we desire to have. And my thought for that message that I preached many years ago, what is your desire? I had a desire back then. I made comments about some things. I had a desire to go certain places in the world, travel and different things. And back then, I hadn't gone to several of these places that I'll mention. I hadn't been to the Grand Canyon yet. And I thank God when I preached that, that was a desire to go there. And I thank God I've had the opportunity to go there. Enjoyed it. And the thought was, what is our desire is, when you have a desire for something, you put forth energy to achieve that. You put forth energy to accomplish your desire. Somebody, I'd like to go to the Grand Canyon. Well, there's not much work on doing that. But if I have a desire to go somewhere, I'm going to put forth some effort. We went to Grand Canyon, another place I desired. I wanted to go to Yellowstone. Thank the Lord we were able to do that last year. We went there last year. I've enjoyed that. I've been many places that I thank God that He's given me the opportunity. I've been to Niagara Falls. I don't know how many of you have ever traveled the road, and I looked it up this morning. I was wondering what the road was called. It's called the Overseas Highway down through the Florida Keys. It's 113 miles long. If you've ever been down that road, it's a beautiful trip. It's one road all the way down, one road all the way back. Two-lane highway, I think. I don't think it's even four-lane. Two-lane, one down, one back. Absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous. I thank God I had that. I wouldn't mind doing that trip again. That was a beautiful trip. I've seen the beautiful oceans of the Caribbean and different colors of the water and those places that I've read about and seen about. And I thank God that God has given me the opportunity to see some of the beauty things in His world. But there's one thing above all that I desire.
Yes, amen.
I want to make heaven.
Amen.
I want to make heaven my home. I want to see the kingdom of God. I want to see Jesus Christ one day. The disciples had such a wonderful privilege. They were able to handle the very word of life. They were able to see Him and talk to Him and handle Him. And the people that were around Him, that thronged Him constantly, their only desire was for this physical. They wanted to get their bodies touched. They wanted to get their needs met for food and those things. That was their only desire. Nothing of spiritual things. Thank God that He gives us a hungering and thirst for spiritual things, for the things of the kingdom of heaven. That's my desire.
Yes, amen.
What's your desire? And if you have a desire for the kingdom of heaven, if you have a desire for spiritual things, you know what you're going to do? You're going to start putting your treasures in heaven, not in this world. We have to work. We have to provide for ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to live. We have to provide. If we're a husband or a wife, we have to provide for our family and things. That is God. God required us to do those things. That's okay. But there's something above all those things. There's something. Every one of us in here one day, they're going to dig a hole for us. And they're going to put us in the ground. And we're going to be off this world. We're going to die. And the Bible lets us know that when we die, our souls have one of two places. Either heaven or hell. One of those two places. And I don't care how much they say. I kind of smile when I hear some of them say, medical advances have gone such a way people are living longer. I just smile. You're not going to break God's word. God's word says, I give man 70 years. If by reason of health and strength, I'll give him 80. But if you live to 100, there's a whole bunch of other people that never made it past 30. 50, 60. All that range. But even if you do live, I don't know how. Lynn has an uncle in the nursing home up the road here. He'll be 102 next year. I think he's like 102. 102. He's not going much more years. You're not going to see 110, 120, 130 years old. But the Bible lets us know once our time on this earth is over, for all eternity, a never-ending time, God says, and we can't comprehend that, we can't understand it, but God says, for all eternity, you will receive one of two callings. You will receive the bliss and glory and happiness and joyful and satisfaction of heaven, or you will receive the torment and pains of hell. that will never cease to exist in either one. The Bible teaches us that as these bodies will be going back to the ground of where they came from, but God is going to give us another body, and that other body can be able to withstand the joys that heaven has, because these bodies can't. The Bible lets us know that God asked Moses, "What do you desire?" Moses, what do you want? He said, "I want to see you, Lord." He said, "You can't." He goes, "No man can see me and live. But this is what I'll do for you, Moses. As I pass by, I'll cover you with my hand. And as I pass by, I'll let you see the hind parts of me, the backside." That's all that Moses had the opportunity to see, because his glory, God's glory, is so wonderful that we could not even live in the very presence of God. That's why we have to have a new body. To be able to withstand the joys that heaven has to hold for us. But the other side, we have to have another body to withstand the pains that hell has. There's a place called hell. And the Bible lets us know, as we talked about in the beginning, that more people, the Bible, Jesus says one time, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there shall be that find the ways to heaven. But wide is the gate and broad is the way, and many shall follow that path." What do you desire this morning? Do you desire to place up the things in heaven? Or you're looking at the things of this world? I'm going to read to you a couple verses here that I looked at this week that I think could be an encouragement of our desire. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7. I'm going to take each verse one by one here, pick them apart some. In verse 9, Revelation 7 and 9, this is John. He says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and psalms in their hands." He says one thing here, it's going to be a great amount of people. John says, "I see a great people. All nations, all tongues, all people, standing before the very throne of God." So you ask me, what do I desire? I want to be here one day. This is where I want to be. When my days are over, when it's time, that time, that's where I want to be. I want to stand, be able to stand before the throne of God and see the glory that the throne of God has. Now, by faith, the Bible, the song we sing sometimes, "I see this by faith, but by the grace of God, and if I continue to lay up myself treasures in heaven, and my desires are the things of heaven, one day my faith shall be lost in sight. I'll have an understanding, a visual understanding, and an actual understanding, not just by faith." But he says here, "a great multitude of saints." Verse 10. Actually, I'm going to have you, everyone, read this. So you have your Bible with us. Let's all read this verse together and look at this verse. In verse 10, "and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." John says here, "I see a multitude, a great multitude of people that no man can number, in white robes, with psalms in their hand, and they cry with a loud voice, salvation to our God." I thank God that's not difficult for us to say today. There's a lot of people, they're not going to acknowledge God, they're not going to acknowledge Jesus Christ, they're not going to praise Jesus Christ, but I thank God we can acknowledge Him and say, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation to our God. Verse 11, "and all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne in their faces and worshiped God." I imagine this is going to be something, a sight that will be beyond anything we can ever imagine in this world. All the angels. God made the angels in heaven to worship and to praise Him and to do His will. All the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on the faces and worshiped God. The angels were made to glorify God, but on that day, They will praise God because of all the nations clothed in the robes of white. They will give God that praise, that glory, because of what he's done. Verse 12 through 14, finish it out, these thoughts here. And we'll read verse 11 again. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessings and glory and worship and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Verse 13, and one of the elders answered and saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And verse 14, John said, or the angel said, And I say unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. One day, by the grace of God, and there's not a one of us in here except for these two young ladies here got a little bit of years on them. There's not a one of us in here that this time is not that far away. Yes. It's not 50 years in the future. May not even be 50 years for them. But it's not 50 years out there. And I forgot about Sister Melanie. She's pretty young too back here. But it's not that far. What do we desire? Where's our treasures at? Where's our desires for the things of God? One day I want to see this. I want to experience it. I want to be among that number that shouts salvation to God and see the angels and see the robes and see the glory. And it says that they'll have a psalm in their hand. Everybody in perfect harmony before the very throne of God. That'd be the only time that mankind, will ever be able to see the glory of God. Jesus left the throne of God and came down and lived among us as a man. The only time we believe, I think it's the only time, is when Peter, James, and John, I believe those three, went on the Mount of Transfiguration and they seen Jesus transfigured and before Elijah and Moses. And after it was all over, they said it was good for us to be here. They couldn't even really look upon that because of the glory there. They said it was good for us to be here. They wanted to build an altar. But the Spirit of God came down. He goes, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. I am well pleased in him. We may be able to see the face of Christ, but we cannot see the glory and the grace of God except for this day. And that's what I want to see. I want to lay up my chest. I want to set my face, my direction, my vision towards the things of God. So when he talks about laying up for yourselves treasures, and I know I made the comment earlier to you about the definition there, a word that signifies a collection of objects or values, including stores of provision. But the word value means, where is our values at? I put my face, my direction, my desires, my hopes towards the things of heaven. I know we have to live. I know we have jobs. I know we have responsibilities in this world. But from time to time, throughout a day or throughout a week, Lord, help us. Help us to get a vision towards the things of God. I want to see him one day. Amen. Verse 16, I didn't go down through there all the way down, but it says, There shall be no hungering or thirsting anymore. Matthew 5 and 6 says, Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. You know, before we got saved, we were chasing after pleasures. Hunger for something. I remember Brother Davis used to preach that from time to time. He says, I'd go over here looking for the pleasures of life. And I'd be over there for a while and it wasn't there. And I'd go over here and go over there and go there and go here. And I can remember that as a young person. And I'd get involved in some things, some hobbies or whatever I enjoyed. And I did them for a period of time. And they lost their appeal. There's all kind of hobbies. And some of these things that I'm speaking of weren't even sinful. But they just lost their appeal. Today they have no attraction to me. And you go here, you go there, you start getting involved in things and all these things. And when you sometimes when I've gotten involved with certain things, I mean, you just put a lot of energy into it. But it don't take sometimes 6 months or a year, or maybe just a couple years, and it just fades away. You lose interest. Well, let's look at something else. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's go this. Let's go these things. We're hungering for something. We're thirsting for something. God made these bodies for a purpose, to worship and serve Him. And when we worship and serve God, when we get saved, when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and we get saved, God takes that hungering and thirsting and gives us those things that are things of God.
Praise God.
Not hungry for the things of the world anymore. I'm not hungry for those things. That song says, verse, the chorus there says, the things of this world grow strangely dim. I didn't have this song in my notes, and I knew I wouldn't know where to put it in at, so I'll just bring it in here. I was going to get with Sister Jerry to maybe play. I think she's played this song before, 396. I've left all the world to follow Jesus. I'm not going to read the verses, but the chorus says, I've left all the world to follow Jesus. Never backward to its follies will I turn. I'm on my upward way, and it's brighter every day. I've left all the world to follow Jesus. You're looking for something to please. You're looking for something to satisfy. We sang a song about being satisfied. Christ is the only thing in this world that can satisfy. Amen. The desires of heaven. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. Just another verse or two of Scripture. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus says, and when he had called the people unto him with the disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Denying is a part of the treasures of this world. Laying that aside. Denying yourself of the treasures of the world. Denying self of the joys of the world. That's a part of laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. These are some things I really like to do. These are some places I really like to go. I mentioned not even too long ago. You know, as saints of God, there are things in our lives that the saints can't do. Abraham, I'll get to that in just a moment. Abraham, he left everything. He left his family, he left his home, he left everything, his mom and dad. He left everything and he went in the direction that God showed him to go, and he looked for a place whose city and builder was that of God. That's what he sought after. I ask you this question this morning, has God ever asked you to deny something? Now you can only answer that yourself, and you have to be honest with yourself with that. Has there ever been a time since you've been saved, or when God has dealt with your soul to get saved, has he ever asked you to lay that aside for him? I need you to let that go. I need you to put that aside. When Jesus started his ministry, he walked through, he found several of the disciples. And one was at the table, he was working as a tax collector. Mark, I can't remember which one it was. He says, come and follow me. He left his job because he recognized Jesus Christ was who he needed to be following, and he followed Christ. John, one time, he had some disciples, and John was telling him, the Lamb of God is the one you need to follow. And Jesus came by the next day. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. And John's disciples left following John and started to follow Christ because they recognized and because John told them to. Has God ever asked you to lay something aside? Has he ever mentioned to you that this wouldn't be good for your spiritual advancement? If you start taking on something or doing something, well, I want to travel, I want to go here, I want to go there. Well, there's okay with some of that. There are some jobs that saints cannot have. Amen. There are some jobs that saints cannot have. If you get saved or whatever, there are some jobs that saints cannot have. Amen. You say, well, mention one or two. I can just mention one mainly. I said, you can't be a bartender. That's just one. I didn't dig into too many thoughts. There are places that God will talk to you about where to live. Well, I'm here in the church. I've been here in the church for 20, 30 years or whatever. I think I'm going to move out to, Oregon, I don't know, anywhere. Okay, that's nice, brother, sister. Where are you going to church at? I don't know if there's a church out there. You missed something. Our spiritual needs to be taken care of above all things. I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. How's our spiritual? How's God redirect your life? I need you to be here. Even in companionship. Our companions, who we choose to be companions with, can affect our spiritual advancement. Where do we go to church? A couple of saints have already mentioned this morning. I appreciate saints when they tell us about where they came out of. Well, Sister Ann mentioned about the lady that in the saints were. But Sister Deborah mentioned where she was raised. Said 7 years old. 7 years old. Recognized that that was wrong. Thank the Lord. I'm going to take you to a reverse here because I want you to see it. Let's go to Revelation chapter 18. You say, well, we can just go to church anywhere, can't we? Depends on where you want to lay your treasures at. On earth or in heaven. Revelation 18 and verse 4 says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. What's that talking about? That's talking about Babylon. It's talking about churches that are false. It's talking about churches that are teaching the things of this world. Talking about churches that aren't teaching that we need to get saved, accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, get saved and live free from sin. Churches that reject those teachings. And people, there are people, thank God, there are some people in denominational churches that are saved to the best of their ability. But from time to time, and as Sister Deborah mentioned, and I've struggled this with something that from a friend of mine, from time to time, God comes to people, not time to time, I believe God comes to every person that's saved in a denominational church, and he says, come out of her. You need to take a stand. Sister Hawk, thank God for Sister Hawk's testimony, strong, firm foundation testimony she had, that she was raised in the Salvation Army. And she put her whole heart into that thing. And I believe she was saved while she was in there. And God let her know, you need to come out of that. God let her know, if you don't come out of that, I don't remember all the details, but I think she said one time she had a desire, even after coming to the Church of God, she had a desire to go back and help them. And God let her know, if you go back into that, you'll go back into darkness. You can't go back to that. Even though you love them, you care for them, you have to leave that. Jesus has come out of that. Where's your treasure at? My treasures are in heaven.
Thank God.
I want to make sure things are well with my soul. I want to make sure I'm setting my orders and right with Christ. And from time to time, denial. As we read in Mark there, Jesus says you have to deny yourself. Deny yourself. Well, this is what I really want to do, God says. I know. I know that's what you really want to do. But for the benefit of your spiritual advancement, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to go. And when we recognize, Lord, as we read over in Revelation chapter 7, Lord, I want to stand before you one day. I want to hear you say, well done. I want to see the glory of God. Because if we leave this world unsaved, the Bible lets us know we will never see the glory of God. We can't. We have not ability. We'll be cast into a place of hell, and it'll be darkness, and we'll be separated from any goodness or mercy of God if we get there. Where is your storehouse? I mentioned that title this morning. Where is your storehouse? Is it in heaven or on the earth? Are you setting your affections in the things of this earth mainly? Fully? Or are you placing some things in heaven? Just a little added note here. I thought it was interesting to add to it. Not really a whole lot to do with the message. My title came at the very end of my message. This morning, I put, a lot of times I don't know what title to put, sometimes just generic title, but as I looked at my message this morning, I got done reading it this morning, and that was what I said, my title is, Where is Your Storehouse? Is it in heaven or is it on earth? And I had my phone, and I Googled, Where is Your Storehouse? For one, I wasn't sure if storehouse was one word or two. You have any idea what popped up when I said that? Where is your storehouse? Cannabis dispensaries. I thought, you got to be kidding me. Of all the things that could have been in, and you go, maybe yours would come up different. But when I Google, I said, where is your storehouse? And it came up all the cannabis dispensaries. I thought, Lord, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Where's your heart's desire? I trust it's in the things of heaven. I trust your vision is fixed on Christ. And that's our desire. I know we have a lot of things that we need to deal with in the world and take care of. But Lord, my focus, my vision needs to be in the things of heaven. May the Lord bless you as we'll have a song.
Let's stand up and open the psalm book to page 158. 158.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Rid thou every idol, cast thou every foe. Now warn me, and I shall be wider than snow. Wider than snow. Yes, wider than snow. Now watch me, and I shall be wider than snow. Lord Jesus, hold thou from thy throne in the sky, and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give myself and whatever I know. Now watch me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now watch me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat, I wait blessed for long at thy crucified feet. My faith for my cleansing hands through thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, thou sayest, I patiently wait. Come now and redeem me, a new heart create. To thou who have sought thee, thou never say no. Now watch me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now watch me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
verse in this song that I always used to enjoy. It was an encouragement to me. In the last part of that fourth line, it says, to those who have sought thee, you've never said no. Amen. I thank God for that. Amen. God's long-suffering, long mercy with us. Anytime we seek God, He'll be ready to answer us by the grace of God. Good to be in service today. Thank the Lord for each one. Good to see Cameron. You brought your friend with us. Appreciate you all being here this morning. Service tonight, 6:30. Remember that. God will be with us and bless us. Just to continue to remember our revival, our fall revival, being October 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, a Thursday through Sunday with Brother Doug Schemberger. So remember him, and God will bless us with that revival also. Anything we need to mention before we dismiss?